Our Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Just another Sunday. It's never just another Sunday, Lord. I thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that it's another opportunity. Gather with your saints. To hear your word objectively. To receive what you have for us. To see you in another light. To give you praise and worship. Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see. I pray we all found our seat at the table. And we come with great anticipation, not of what man will say, but what God will do. Lord, we commit this time to you. We thank you for it. We give you all the glory. We know that you will meet our needs, that you will exceed them. And I pray, Lord, that we would remain in awestruck. You're an awesome God. We praise you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You can open your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, as we continue the study in the Gospel of Matthew. It's so cool that you can read the scriptures over and over and over, and God just makes them new. Like they're never stale. No matter how many times you pick up the word and you study the word, like, I already know that. It's like, wow, I didn't see that. You know, and God just keeps shining more light, greater revelation, and drawing us closer to himself. Man is finite. God is infinite. I don't ever want to lower God to my level. I pray that I never stop being awestruck in who he is. God's so awesome. You know, even, listen, a bad day with God is better than a good day without him. Amen? I don't know how people do it today without faith in the Lord. I don't know. But that's only because I have faith in the Lord. And to me, it's the only way. Let's look at the text. It's the feeding of the 5,000. I'm sure it's a familiar text, as I believed it was for me as well. Jesus performed 36 miracles. In the Gospels, and only one of them is mentioned in all four Gospels. Obviously, the crucifixion and the resurrection was, but besides that, only one other miracle is in all four, and that's the feeding of the 5,000. So obviously, Jesus had something he wanted us to learn and to know about this feeding, beyond what we know on the surface. And as much as I was, you know, reading and studying and looking at different opinions of men, you know, and how they saw this, I just kept thinking and meditating that it's more than that. I think it's more than that. And I just kept saying that. It's more than that. You know, and I would read it and I would see what another opinion, you know, another scholarly Bible scholar had, you know, and they would say, oh, this is what it means, and this is what the, and I, it's, but it's more than that. And I'll tell you this, it's always more than that. And it's more than what I came up with. It's more than that. You know, I used to think based on what I learned in the past, that, you know, we're going to have the Bible in heaven. Like, God's going to, he'll be able to explain it to us in heaven. And God, what did this mean? And he'll say, oh, remember in John's gospel in chapter 6, and eat my flesh, drink my, this is what I really meant. Wow, really? Why didn't you tell us that, Lord? And I used to think that. Listen, we're not going to have the Bible in heaven. We don't need the Bible in heaven. You know, God gave me a beautiful revelation before Tony passed, and she said, I wish I would have studied the Bible more. I wish I would have looked to the Lord more in the scriptures. And at that moment, God ministered to me when she just saw the face of Jesus. She knew more about him than you and I ever could on this side of eternity. At the one glance, she knew more than we could possibly know here. Jesus ain't going to explain the Bible to us in heaven. Jesus is the Bible in heaven. Amen. I'm going to read the text right away. How about that? You never know. I'm so unpredictable. You never know. That's because I never know, so we learn it at the same time. Verse 13. This is according to Matthew's gospel. He says, now when Jesus heard about John, when he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. When the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. Verse 15. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, this place is desolate, and the hour is already late. So send the crowds away that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Interesting. Now, picture yourself there, as I do all the time. And Jesus is, we're following him. He took a boat. We ran on shore. We got there. We're there. We don't know what to do. And he says, you feed them. They said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, this isn't loaves of bread like, you know, regular loaves we're looking at. We're looking at probably like a pita pocket, calling a loaf, and that's the size of it. It's not big. We learn in the other Gospels, it's some kid's lunch. I want to know who the kid was, and did he give it up willfully? That's the way I look at it. Did he be like, was he like, hey, this is my lunch. Like, why would you take my lunch? Like, I went to school. I had a lunchbox. Remember the old solid lunchboxes? Yeah, I had one of them stupid things. But till I was cool and I could brown bag it, then it was a whole different game. But it was like, no, you're not giving up your lunch. You know, then I went to Morton Junior High School, and then we had lunch money. I won't tell you what I did with my lunch money, but I never used it for lunch. But we had lunch money. We had lunch money. And it was like, what? Yeah, go ahead, take my lunch. Yeah, feed the 5,000 with my lunch. Good luck. I don't think so. A few loaves and 2 fish. And by the way, the fish were a delicacy. They were little minnow fish. So they were seasoned. So I don't see the kid giving it up. But anyway, he did. Let's give him credit for it. He gave up his lunch because he knew Jesus wanted it. And he said, bring them here to me, Jesus said. Ordering the people to sit on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up towards heaven, he blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 full baskets. There was about 5,000 men who ate besides the women and children. Now, nobody knows how many people there were, but there were 5,000 men. And if there was women and children with them, I'm not saying all the men had their families with them. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But the low estimate is 15,000 people. So I thought, what's that look like? So I looked at the Civic Center in Providence. In the Civic Center for a hockey game, which is what I would be at, is 14,000 people it holds. So can you imagine Jesus in the midst of them, that many people, plus another 1,000 or more, some say maybe 20,000, and they bring him 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fish, and he says, tell him to sit down. The Lord is the creator. He's the provider, the sustainer, the healer, and the shepherd. He's way more than that. But I want us to see him as this. Now, you can look at the other gospels and you glean more from it. He actually said to Philip, why don't you feed him? Why don't you do something? And Philip's already, you know, he's got his calculator out. No calculator. He's already trying to figure it out. He's got them little wooden things that he was going. But he's trying to figure out how much it would cost to feed this many people. And he says, listen, 100 denarii wouldn't feed all these people. If we had all the money, and we there's no way we could feed them. Andrew, Peter's brother, he goes over and he has the lunch in his hands. And he says, this is what we have. And Jesus looks at that. This is what God showed me. And that's enough. More than enough with Jesus is what I titled it. More than enough. He looked at 5 loaves for 20,000 people and 2 little fish. And Jesus says, that'll do it. We look at our lives and we say, that's not enough. We're always wishing our life away, wishing we had more. You have what God has given you. Everything we have is a gift from God. And if God wants you to have more, he will give you more. If God wants me to win the Powerball, he'll have you win because I don't play, and you'll give me a big portion and we'll both be happy. I look at the Powerball, I say, that'll ruin my life. I don't want that much money. And $1 million isn't what $1 million used to be. Like a dollar isn't what a dollar used to be. We were in an antique store, and it had a dollar bill from, I don't even know how long ago it was, but it was like, I don't know, $36 or whatever the amount of money was. And I thought, that's probably what it was worth back then, but not today. But who cares? Who cares? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I couldn't help but seeing a picture of communion. And I see communion because for us, we celebrate communion once a month, and it's to look back at the cross. But communion, fellowship, koinonia, it's what we have in the presence of the Lord. And so they were in the presence of the Lord. And they were having communion. It was a banquet at a desolate place that only Jesus and all these people were. And the Lord was going to do something magnificent that they have never seen before in their lifetime. And the Lord was doing it to reveal himself. He's Messiah. He's the Lord. In Luke's gospel, it speaks of him, he's teaching as well. What's he teaching them? He's still teaching them about the kingdom. And he's healing. If someone said, you're dying of cancer, and the Lord came to you and he said, I can heal you of your cancer, and you will live X amount of years more, or I can save your soul. How many people say, save my soul? Because we want the tangible. We want the things we can see. We want the things we can hold. So Jesus uses this illustration, an actual story, an actual thing that happened with all these people that are there. How many of them sat there wondering, where's all the food coming from? Now, the other thing I thought was, who gave up their basket? Who gave up the basket? How big was the basket? Well, I've learned that the basket was one of these that probably go around your shoulders that they carry around where they could keep all their stuff in their basket so that they didn't have to associate with the Gentiles. So they might have had a blanket there. They might have had whatever, you know, provisions that they may have, an outer cloak for when it got cold at night, and they stuffed it. It's like a backpack, only a little bigger. And this is what they had. Did Jesus say, give me your basket? Doesn't say. I think when the fish and the bread was multiplied, and I'm not sure how that happened. I got an idea, but how it happened, that they were willfully giving up their baskets. What a banquet. What an unbelievable picture of the Lord revealing himself and people coming to know him as such. John's gospel says that they wanted to grab him and make him king. Yeah, if he's going to keep providing the food. I remember seeing this thing, the circle of democracy. And it said that basically people, and this is why the socialists can run for office and people vote for them, because the person that's going to give you the most is the one you'll vote for. Not the most honest. Not the most righteous, not none of those. No, the one that's going to give you more. I'll vote for him. Oh, he's going to cut my taxes? I'll vote for him. Oh, he's going to give me a $6,000 severance? I'll vote for him. And they looked at Jesus and they thought, he's going to feed us. I'll vote for him. We need to make him king and do it now. Huh. Listen, the small amount of food Andrew held in his hand symbolized all the sufficiency of the bread of life himself. More than enough with Jesus. Think of all that God has supplied in your life. This is why God didn't give them all of it at once. God didn't fill 10 baskets. Okay, Peter, you got 10 baskets. You got this many. And go feed them and we'll spread out. No, they had to go to Jesus. They got the basket. Can you imagine? I would love to see Peter's face. Peter especially. Because he's a little hard knocks. Lord! Lord! What'd you do? And there it is. It's a full basket. And they got to haul it all around, maybe starting with the back, working their way forward, starting with the front, working their way back, however they did it. But there were 12 men that passed these things out. And then it was empty. And they went back. And they gave Jesus the basket. And he gave it back full. They couldn't handle everything at once. Now, wherever you're at with the Lord, and wherever your need is, and whatever your desire is, and whatever your insufficiency is in your life, I want you to picture yourself here and realize that if Jesus, or look back in your life to all the things that God provided in your life. I look back at my prayer, God, if you're real, show me, and God showed up. And I say, oh, coincidence, and God showed up. And I said, that was a strong coincidence, and God showed up. That's not a coincidence. And then God showed up again. He showed up with a basket. It's full of bread. It's full of fish. And he said, I'll be your provider from this day forth. I'll be the one who sustains you in your spiritual life from this day forth. How much did he provide for you? Listen, if he provided salvation and you know that you're born again, saved, going to heaven, do you need more than that? Maybe not, but he's going to give you more. And he's going to keep giving you more. God's blessings, the abundance of God's blessings in your life, we waste our time on natural things. On natural things. You know, when we were looking at the provisions in the Psalms a few weeks ago, the abundance of that. And we looked at the manna. There was maybe a million and a half people in the wilderness. And Jesus says, God says, I'm going to feed you because you're hungry, and it's going to be manna. I'm going to leave it on the, as soon as all the dew melts away, the manna is going to be there. You pick it up. You can make cakes with it. You can make bread with it. You can do all these things with it. And he says it'll be there. Do you realize how much manna had to be on the ground for them to gather? And they're like, well, we don't have any meat. What about the meat? We want meat. I love God's sense of humor. I'm going to give you quail. Oh, that sounds good, Lord. But I'm going to give it to you till it comes out of your nose because you're asking me for it. Now, I don't know what that looked like, and I don't want to know. Those are visuals I didn't enter into. But the Lord gave to them, again, water. Oh, we want water. You left us out here to die. He didn't give them a bubbler. You know the old bubblers, right? He didn't give them a bubbler. That's good. And then, no, we gave him a rock, and that rock opened up, and it just poured water out of there. That's the abundance of God. God wasn't looking to feed them for the rest of their lives. God was looking for them to see him as the bread of life. John's gospel in John chapter 6, it says the next day he began to teach them about the bread of the, I am the bread of life. He had compassion. And so he heals the sick. I wonder how many of the ones were healed from their sickness. Never got saved. The multitudes followed him because he was healing, because he was feeding them. He said later in John, he said, you only come because you think I'm going to keep giving you bread. Is that what God is to us? Is he just the one who's going to provide our needs? And what about when he doesn't? You know, famine is a need. It's a need in the church today. Not a famine of his word. No, there is a famine of that. In Amos 8, we already have that. No, maybe a famine of the provisions that God has so that we keep going back. The beautiful picture is he was teaching the disciples, this is how you're going to be, you're going to become the church. It's all going to start here. And you're going to have to give what I give you. It's not what they have. They didn't bake the bread and invite them all over and, you know, all 20,000 of them. And here, I'll give you food and I'll provide. No, they had nothing to do with it other than receive and to give. That's the church. That's the church. The bride is to receive and respond. We respond to his love and we receive his provisions. For what? For what? To keep ourselves? No, until our cup overflows and then we have to give to others. And it's provision. We're the only thing that stands in the way, the church, the bride of Christ, between a world that's fallen and going to hell and Almighty God. We're not the vicar of Christ. There is no vicar of Christ. But we're representatives of Jesus Christ because we are his bride and his body. So go get your provisions. Go to the Lord. The Passover was coming, and what a perfect time for Jesus to teach them. The people Jesus fed, they sensed that he was the prophet. They said it. He's the one we've been waiting. He's the prophet that Moses spoke of. Deuteronomy 18, 15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen. You shall listen to him. They had to come to Jesus. Matthew 11, come to me. Come to me. The little supply of bread was increased by Christ creating power till everyone was satisfied. He had to create it. I mean, you think of what goes into, I don't know what goes into it, but I know there's a lot of work that goes into making bread. I know there's ingredients you got to put together, there's dough, there's whatever. But I know you got to knead it, you got to work it. Use a machine, don't use a machine, I don't know, it doesn't matter. But anyway, there's all these things. Then you're going to bake it. You can't have raw dough. That's only good in ice cream, cookie dough. But you don't want that. But you're going to be able to cook it. And what about the fish? Well, the fish, they came from the sea. Did he go to the sea and get the fish? No, he didn't. But the fish was cooked. Otherwise, the sushi, I like sushi, it could have been. But I don't think so. But all these things had to take place. When God created it, he created it perfect. I'll bet it was the best bread they ever had. I'll bet it was the tastiest fish they've ever eaten. Psalm 104, verse 27. They all wait for you to give them their food in due season. You know who they all are? All. Every creature, every insect, every bird, every fish, every human being. We all wait for the Lord to provide. My sanctified imagination went way back. And however long the earth has been in existence, we can argue about that another day, but let's, for my sake, say it's been here at least 6,000, maybe more, that many years that people have been on this earth, if we look at the literal years and days of Adam and Eve, and if that be so, it could be plenty more, I understand, but think of how much God provided for all them years, for all them people, and there's still God's provision today. Like, why didn't we run out? Oil. There's been more wars over oil. Like, where does the oil come from? Oh, that's fossil fuel. That's from the dinosaurs. No, it isn't. It's from God. And God has an endless supply of everything that man will need to sustain us. But do we think that God did all of this just for the physical bread and the physical fish? No, it's always spiritual. It's always spiritual. We can't look at this and miss the spiritual application. Jesus is saying, I'm the Lord. I want you to see this. That's where his compassion came from. It was deep inside, it says in the Greek. It wasn't just the sympathy that he had for them because they were hungry. He had a compassion that moved him in his inner man, in the inside of him, in his gut. And he knew he had to show them. He knew he had to do something. When he fed the 4,000, he had that same compassion. When the father ran to the son, the prodigal, he had compassion. The woman of Nain that lost her son, the widow, it said Jesus had compassion on her. Compassion acts. Sympathy, you can sit back and go, "Hey, man, I feel sorry for you, you know? I really do." Compassion says, I want to help. Jesus had compassion. Verse 28, it says, you give to them, they gather it up. What a picture. You open your hand, and they are satisfied with good. Isn't that this? Psalm 145, 15. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy their desire of every living thing. I got this picture of that. When I asked God, I said, Lord, how? How'd you do it? Come on, tell me. Just show me. And that was the verse God gave me. Because I picture the basket being a good-sized basket and the Lord sticking his hands in it so no one could see. And as he's lifting up his hands, the whole thing's full. It's full. Because every provision comes from God's hand. Every provision. I don't care what it is. An unanswerable proof of our Lord's divine power. Psalm 146, 7. Who execute justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord sets the prisoners free. That's what God wanted. I'll tell you, the sad thing is because of easy believism in the church today, people that believe or think or hope, I don't like that. We have a blessed hope, a blessed assurance. But people that say, I hope I'm going to heaven, you're not assured. I think I can make it, you're not assured. This is the scariest place for anyone to be, is to think that they're okay and they're not. I would rather have someone say, no, me, I know I'm going to hell. Okay, we got something to work with. But the guy, though, the woman that says, oh, I believe in God, I'm good, I'm okay, I'm all set, I think I'm good, I hope I'm good. You're going to wait till the end? 1 John 5, 13, these things have been written so that you may know you have eternal life. So that you may know you have eternal life. I know I have eternal life. Because you know why? Because I'm such a rotten sinner. And I know that I could never save myself. And I needed a Savior. And God came down and swooped me up and saved me from the fires of hell and said, you're mine. And I know I'm his. And I know he's mine. Amen. I know. I didn't do anything for it. I didn't have to. I couldn't. I couldn't. I didn't say, you know, Jesus, come in my heart. Jesus doesn't need your heart. He'll decide. And those who seek him with all their heart, they'll find him. And then realize he was the seeker. He's the seeker. I remember going to New Hampshire and going to the mountains, and we went up on, God bless my wife, man. She trusts me driving up Mount Washington. I wouldn't have the same faith. But anyway, it was hairy. It was crazy. I don't know if you ever done it, but it's crazy. But we get to the top, and all these mountains on the way there that were all, you know, huge. You're looking at all these beautiful mountains, beautiful scenery. And then you get to Mount Washington, and it is high. And you get to the top, and it's like 50 degrees colder up there. But all them mountains on the way that look so big were so small. Well, I didn't use that in the sermon the next Sunday. You know I did. I was in New Bedford. I was like, God lifts us on wings like eagles, and he rises us above. And we look at the problems, and we look at the things that we struggle with, and God lifts us up, and he says, now, how do they look now? Well, they look small. Feeding 20,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 pieces of fish. What's the chances? How does it look? It looks bleak. Oh, no, not with God. Not with God. That's easy. Huh. Everybody is satisfied when Jesus makes the feast. You know something, church? We come to church. I always pray. We pray. It's not just another Sunday. I was there. I was there. It's just another Sunday. You go to church, you come home, you eat, you watch football, whatever. Just another Sunday. I pray all, God, I don't want it to be another Sunday. It's not. It's not. It's a new day. It's a new day. And every new day is a gift. And it's a gift from God. And it's another opportunity to see him and to know him. And I couldn't help but picturing, we're going to gather today. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to go to the Lord. I'm going to get a basket. It's going to be full of fish. Full of bread, and I'm going to be able to distribute it to you, not mine. I don't have it. But God does. And that's all we can do is just take, receive, and pass out. It says, Jesus says, looking up to heaven, he prayed before a meal. Perhaps he prayed this blessing that the Jews prayed all the time. Blessed art thou, Jehovah our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. But Jesus is the bread. We need to give what we have to the Lord. Whoever you are, whatever you possess, realize that it's not yours only to enjoy. It's ours to enjoy, but we don't own anything. God begins where we are and uses what we have. The miracle was in his hands. Little is much when God is in it. Again, Jesus is the bread of life. In the Old Testament, God fed his people with manna, but there wasn't edible leftovers. Jesus says there's 12 baskets full. Ironically, 12 apostles, perhaps one for each. perhaps. My second thought, my third thought, well, maybe this was my fourth. But what did the fragments look like? Was that like, like, what did that look like? Was that like whole pieces of bread and whole fish? I want to think so. But it says fragments, a leftover. I don't know what that looked like. But I'm sure it was perfect. 1 Kings 17:14. This is Elijah. Elijah with the widow who's gathering up sticks and a little bit of dough that she can make one more little cake for her and her son before they starve to death. It says, "For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends the rain on the face of the earth." And it never emptied until the rain came. Talk about small things. Remember when Elijah, check and see if the rain's coming. Nope, nothing there. Okay, go back, check and see. Nope, nothing there. Tells the servant, go back, check and see. Yes, I see a cloud. It's the size of a man's fist. Oh, God's going to water the land with that. Amen. The size of a man's fist, he says. And it did. The famine was over. 2 Kings 4:43, Elisha. It says, what will I set before this, before 100 men? But he said, give them to the people that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over. That was only 100 men. So what do we learn from these things? Philip's mind immediately went to how much it would cost. We can't look at anything God gives and put a price to it. All good things come from above, from the Father of lights. All good things. He saw the task as impossible because he approached it as though everything depended on his own work. Zechariah 4:6, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. If anything happens today, it's by his spirit. If you're touched by the word, it's him, his spirit. Note this also, Ephesians 3:20, that God does exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can ask, oh, I love this part, or think. No, I'm limited in what I ask for because I don't want to seem greedy and, you know, needy. But what I think, oh, man, can't let you there. He wants to lavish his children with spiritual blessings, even to the overflowing. Nothing is too difficult for God, reinforcing our faith in his sovereignty. There's nothing he can't do, and I'd much rather have a little with the Lord than have a lot through the world. Well, people make a big deal about tithing. You know, oh, giving 10%. I don't preach it. I don't say that, but I can tell you this. I know for myself there's blessings in it. There's blessings in it. If you do, praise God. If you don't, I don't care. I really don't care, because you miss out. But what God can do with little as opposed to a lot, you can't compare it. The Lord Jesus himself, who is spiritual bread, and how he satisfies the spiritual appetite of those who are hungry. He was teaching the virtual truth of union with Jesus Christ. Union with Christ is to be enjoyed. We don't have to understand it. I don't know how God does it. I don't know how he does the things he does or why he does, but I know this. It's always about union with him. And he's given it to me to enjoy. I tell people all the time, enjoy the Lord. Christianity's not hard. It's impossible. Stop trying. Enjoy the Lord. You want to see your life transform and find rest in Christ? Enjoy the Lord. And count every blessing, because it's all from him. All God has ever expected from you is in all you are and all you have, which is all he's given. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray.
Lord in heaven, we're so grateful that you continue to give to each one of us personally as well as corporately. It's beyond measure what we truly can even think or come up with. And we're so thankful that even the thoughts we have, that you're able to separate what is good that you will give to us and what that is not good that you will keep far from us. Thy word is truth. You are truth and your mercy and your grace. And we thank you, Lord, for continue to pour out, that you continue to pour out your love upon each one of us. You know what makes each one of us tick. You know the things that are so important to us and the things that are that should be important to us, and you love us anyway. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you continue to pour out. We pray, Lord, that we would seek you, not the blessing, but seek the one who blesses. Purify our hearts and mind. Cause us to seek you more than anyone or anything else. We give you thanks and praise in Christ's name. Amen.